AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. The holiday weekend is closing in fast, and negotiators are still trying to get a deal done to keep the U.S. out of default. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy has details on the latest proposals to keep the country running.
As members of the House head back to their districts for the Memorial Day weekend, the president says talks between White House negotiators and the speaker's team continue to be productive.
And they're making progress.
CBS News has learned the White House has proposed to raise the debt limit enough to last 2 years, rescind up to $30 billion in unspent COVID relief funds, and freeze agency spending for the next 2 years. Republicans have demanded not just a freeze, but reductions in spending. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, the White House.
A judge says Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes should spend 18 years in prison for his role as a planner and plotter in the Capitol insurrection. CBS's Scott McFarland.
Stuart Rhodes tried to ask for leniency today, tried to make an argument, but much of it was a politically charged invective against the Biden administration about what Stuart Rhodes characterizes the radical left, and a defense of his actions, his group, and a remorseless statement that did not land with the judge.
President Biden has nominated Air Force Chief Charles C. Hugh Brown to become the next Joint Chiefs Chairman. CBS News Pentagon correspondent David Martin.
When I first met him, he was the commander of the air war against ISIS in Iraq and Syria. And after that, he became the commander of the Pacific Air Force.
He was the first black to hold that post, as well as that of Air Force Chief. This is getaway day for many holiday travelers, and this could be the busiest Memorial weekend in years. Here's CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The nation's busiest airport is about to get a lot busier.
We are ready.
Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson expects more than 2 million flyers to pass through for Memorial Day. And nationwide, the TSA is bracing for a potentially record setting summer.
We're ready.
TSA Administrator David Pekoski.
This year, a big difference is we have more staff.
A jury has ordered a Burger King franchise owner to pay $8 million to a South Florida man who says he fell and hurt himself badly in that restaurant. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
48-year-old Richard Terlecki said he suffered serious injuries when he slipped on a, quote, wet foreign substance and fell inside the bathroom of the restaurant in 2019. He said he needed surgery and has been unable to work. The operators of the franchised restaurant have asked for a new trial. They say Telecki's lawyers didn't prove that the restaurant's managers had been told of the floor's slippery condition.
Wall Street at the close, the Dow lost 35 points. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means... Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match, only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fri-yays with WFHR.halfoffdeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business. This week's deal is from Papa John's in Stevens Point. Get a $50 gift card for just $25. That's right, 50 for just 25. From Papa John's in Stevens Point. What's better than pizza? Papa John's at half price. Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeal.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The Vilas County Sheriff's Office released the name of a man who drowned Monday afternoon. Here's Civic Media's Brittany Merlot with more details.
Authorities said following a two-day search, the body of Michael Steiner from Colorado was recovered from Black Oak Lake. Just before 2 p.m. Monday, the dispatch center got a call reporting a boater witnessed a tipped-over canoe on the lake and a person sinking below the canoe. Emergency crews responded to the scene and a large search was conducted. The searchers worked until dusk but were unable to recover the person. The search resumed Tuesday. That's when the 62-year-old man's body was found, not wearing a life jacket.
You can skip the lines at state parks and forests this weekend by purchasing your Wisconsin State Park sticker online. The cost is $28 for residents. You can buy it online and use your email confirmation as proof of purchase until your sticker arrives in the mail. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 36 tonight under clear skies, easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow, highs level off around 74. Lows dip down to about 45 tomorrow night, mainly clear. Temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 69.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Responsibility and gullibility. We must tell you, the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday, Memorial Day, Friday Eve edition. Don, working for a long weekend, aren't you, buddy?
I cannot wait, Crute. Good to see you. Aaron, working the board once again. Thank you and our fair audience. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Very excited. I can hear it in your voice, Aaron.
I'm just not always that animated of a speaker. Which is unfortunate considering I work in radio.
Yes. It's Friday Eve, man. You gotta bring it a little bit.
That's true. All right. It's Friday Eve. We're going into Memorial Day weekend.
I got some emotion in there, man. Let's see it.
You know, I'm starting to like it. That's getting a little closer. You know, we'll leave room for improvement though. Dom, a quick headline, and we don't need to get into it. Not at this point, but the fake electors here in the great state of Wisconsin. No indictments. It's not Josh Call Day. But the civil lawsuit in Frank Remington's courtroom in the Dane County jurisdiction, that's the district court, well, they've scheduled a trial date, Dom, for September of 2024. So the actions from December of 2020, when they, you know, these 10 Republicans from the great state of Wisconsin made a fraudulent, I would say criminally fraudulent claim that they were the valid state electors here in the great state of Wisconsin, despite the fact Joe Biden had won the, 21,000 more votes than Donald Trump had. Yet they went to the Capitol after the final ruling of the Wisconsin Supreme Court had it dropped that day, December 14th of 2020, and they said, no, we vote for Trump. They weren't even the valid electors. They were fraudulent electors. And criminally, they signed their names to a piece of paper and they said they were the valid electors and that Trump won the vote. Trump was their selection here in the state of Wisconsin. So can't seem to get the sitting attorney general, Democrat Josh Call, to, you know, take our calls on this topic, Tom. Last time I talked to Josh about this was last June.
Almost June. Wow.
At the Democratic Party event across Wisconsin, had Josh on the show. You weren't there that day. And Josh said, you know, we're looking at this multi-jurisdictional investigation and, you know, we're waiting on the federales, basically. We're waiting on the federal Department of Justice. Well, that day may never come. What about the state crimes they committed? But anyways, civil trial, it's not the same, Tom. It's not the same.
The plaintiffs are seeking punitive damages of up to $2.4 million, which, great if you can get it, but again, that's not addressing the criminality of their actions.
Somewhat unsatisfactory, sort of like the civil finding that the former President Donald Trump was a, what, sexual abuser. Not a finding of rape under civil litigation, but a finding of what, sexual abuse?
Sexual abuse, sexual battery.
But it doesn't put his ass in jail, does it now?
No, it doesn't.
And I'm not clear that the crime would be worthy of jail for these fraudulent electors, although, you know, that's up to the courts.
Well, I think it depends on to what degree involved in the conspiracy they were. And I don't even know if they have to be aware of the level of conspiracy they were involved with. Because this was one of many states that were doing the same thing under what? Under the pressure from Trump and his cronies in the White House to try to come up with a plan to hold on to power. Right? That's exactly what this is. That was part of the spoke in the wheel of that corruption. So there, it's not just what they did here. It's what the domino effect would have been had they been successful in pursuing this coup. Let's call it what it is.
Dominic, the QAnon shaman is already out of jail.
All right, book deal.
And we haven't even dealt with the fake, the fraudulent, the criminally claiming false electors here in the state of Wisconsin. Their trial next year, and the QAnon shaman's already been to trial, been convicted. Been to jail. He got a 41-month sentence, Dom. Now he's been released from a halfway house. You know, because he's sort of half man, half creature.
I mean, September of 2024, and here in Wisconsin when they met was December 14th of 2020. Almost 4 years later to go to trial on a civil case? Man. Come on, Josh, pick up your game. What else are you going to do?
A little unsatisfying.
Yeah, it's very unsatisfying.
As to Jacob Chansley, that's the QAnon shaman, Dom, that Arizona man who became the face of the January 6th insurrection, he's now a free man. Chansley, the 35-year-old known as QAnon shaman, was released from a Phoenix halfway house Thursday. Law and Crime reports citing the Bureau of Prisons. Senior U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth described Chansley as the very image of the riot in the November 2021 before sentencing him to 41 months. November of 2021, Dom. That was less than a year after the crime he committed. Again, we're getting a civil trial 4 years later with no actual ramification, except maybe a civil forfeiture. I mean, money hurts, but not as much as jail time.
Right.
I've been fined and I've been
felon serving some time. I mean, quite a fall from grace for those 10 Republicans who engaged in this fraud.
I have been fined and I have been incarcerated.
Yeah.
Pay the fine. Yeah, pay the fine every time.
Check and the sleep on the mattress.
Oh, at least you get a mattress. Some lose the mattress. Here's what it's being stated by his attorney, the QAnon shaman's Albert Watkins. Chansley worked diligently during his period of confinement to take advantage of the opportunities accorded by his plea deal to reduce the time he was required to serve. The Court and Bureau of Prisons recognized his effort. I sincerely wish Jake the absolute best as he moves forward with his life. Perhaps a job at State Farm. He's got the right name for it. Although Chansley claimed to have peaceful intentions, he shouted, "Time's up, effers!" as he entered the Senate chamber. Months before the insurrection, Chansley posted incendiary rhetoric on social media, according to the report. "We shall have no real hope to survive the enemy's raid against us until we hang the traitors lurking among us," he wrote on November 19th, 2020 in a Facebook post. Chansley, in an NBC interview after the attack at the Capitol, called the insurrection, well, it was a win, Dom. The fact that we had a bunch of our traitors in office hunkered down, put on their gas masks, and retreat into their underground bunker, I consider that a win. Well, the fact that this guy got out of jail today, Dom, I consider that a bit of a loss.
You know, I sincerely hope he received and continues to receive the presumable mental health that he probably needs. Hopefully it changed him for the better, but I'm hopeful in that regard, but you know, these are some very out there folks. The founder of the Oath Keepers today,
Stuart Rhodes,
sentenced to 18 years in federal prison. The judge told him, quote, "You, sir, present an ongoing threat and a peril to this country and to the republic and to the very fabric of this democracy," Amit Mehta said before handing down the sentence.
18 years.
18. Another Oath Keeper sentenced, my understanding, to 12 years.
Dave Beggs, well. I believe his name, the other convicted perpetrator of seditious conspiracy, right?
And to my understanding, Rhodes is not, you know, he's not regretful. He's saying, you know, this is still a conspiracy against him and, you know, political persecution. He'd still vote for Trump. Still calling for a regime change as recently as reported a couple of days ago. So Stuart Rhodes, 18 years, but man, he's a believer. He's not changing his mind.
Well, Dominic, you know, where I really want to get to is that craptacular rollout of the Ron DeSantis campaign.
Yeah.
He went on the Twitter spaces, and I think we've got some sound we're going to bring back in the next segment. So you're going to have to stick around for that. But after the craptacular rollout, Dom, chock full of tech glitches. I mean, if he overcomes it, you know, he'll get by it. But if he never does, it will, you know, go down in history of the embodiment of his campaign, this Twitter Spaces failure to launch. It was god awful.
It was pretty bad.
But anyways, Ron DeSantis then dutifully ran over to the Foxy News. And he then said, well, yeah, I'd strongly consider pardoning many of the patriots from January 6th, including the former president, Don.
What I'm going to do is on day one, I will have folks that will get together and look at all these cases who people are victims of weaponization or political targeting, and we will be aggressive at issuing pardons. We'll be aggressive at issuing pardons. Now, some of these cases, some people may have a technical violation of law, but if there are three other people who did the same thing, but just in a context like BLM and they don't get prosecuted at all, that is uneven application of justice. We're going to find examples where we have governments have been weaponized against disfavored groups. We'll apply relief as appropriate. Asked about pardon for Trump. And that could be from a grandma who got arrested and prosecuted. How about Trump himself? I would say any example of disfavored treatment based on politics or weaponization will be included in that review, no matter how big or how small. Yeah. He'd pardon Trump. Of course he would. Any Republican would. That's why they don't belong anywhere near the levers of power. But unfortunately, Marquette University Law School polling here, state of Wisconsin, both Trump and DeSantis leading Biden.
That's not Wisconsin polling. That's national polling. Just for the record. Done by Marquette University. But that is a national poll. Still looks bad. Come back. We are the devil's advocates. We always sound super sexy and good. At least to my ears, hopefully to yours as well. Join us, 844-967-2.
Did you know Broadfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a brat tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't
just about the brats.
You know, we have a kid zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone. Just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers. 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used? 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pop a top and join the fun. Donate your cans today to help feed and care for the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. Pet of the Week is brought to you by Express Recycling Solutions Incorporated, dedicated to helping our community by providing many recycling services as well as drop-off locations for cans at the Southwood County Humane Society and 480 Strodeman Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids. Express Recycling Solutions, keeping our community clean and safe.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again, then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We will take your calls at 844-967-2789. But be patient. We have some things we want to get to as well.
Dominic, let your freak flag fly. As the headline at Aaron Blake at the Washington Post, Trump versus DeSantis. It's about to get weird. Now, the subheadline, it wasn't just the botched Twitter launch. It was everything that followed. It what it portends in a party that has increasingly embraced provocationist policy. Troll the libs, right, Dom?
Do what it takes.
We tried with absolute sincerity to play some of the Ron DeSantis rollout, and it was a craptacular effort yesterday. And it did hurt the overnight ratings. I don't think people were see, overly enthused about that. That Twitter spaces, you didn't really know who was talking. And first they had up to like 900,000 people parked for the announcement. And then they moved it to a different Twitter space. And like 300,000 people followed them. And that was all they could get on because they were blowing up the servers, apparently. I mean, relative to even, you know, like CNN. CNN can handle capacity of over 300,000 viewers. They don't usually get it, but they can handle that sort of capacity. Dom, as it's written, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' glitchy Republican presidential campaign launch with Elon Musk on Wednesday night is getting all the attention. But don't sleep on the utter weirdness that followed, and apparently will continue. Shortly after the event, DeSantis' campaign set about trying to make lemonade from its lemons, chicken salad from its... I won't finish that one. His rapid response team released a bizarre web video featuring DeSantis' stilted, almost disembodied opening statement from the event, overlaid on seemingly random B-roll shots of not just DeSantis, but also extensively Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
There was Musk with a flamethrower. There was Musk hyping his Teslas. An elaborate and visually attractive event that was essentially the polar opposite of the DeSantis launch. There was a youthful Musk just sitting at a keyboard. There was DeSantis talking about the toll of fentanyl while the image showed him smiling and waving. It might have made sense as a video if DeSantis were announcing Musk as his running mate. Sharp emphasis on might. But Dom, then came Donald Trump's retort, and we're going to play some of this for you, our fair audience. This was pretty good. I'm going to give the Trump team a little bit of credit here. The mocking came quickly, Dom, and it was rather clever, I think. Seeking to capitalize on the botched rollout, he, Donald Trump, posted a vulgar AI video mocking the Twitter Spaces event. It featured a Dick Cheney coughing repeatedly over a hot mic. Let's not forget, that's what, Liz Cheney's old man. Now, I've never been a big fan, but I think Trump sort of soured on the Cheney family, if you know what I'm saying. It featured the FBI apparently randomly using Anderson Cooper's voice, asking, so how are we going to take Trump? Take out Trump, you guys. There was an Adolf Hitler represented, the devil. The devil was represented, Tom. And they were arguing about gay people. Trump talked about how Cheney would be dead soon and how DeSantis could kiss his big, beautiful 2024 ass. Well, Dom, we're not going to play it all because it's a little weird and bizarre, but
it is totally weird. I'm not going to give him credit, man. This is some strange ass stuff.
Well, it's at least as clever as the rollout. You know, it's a low bar at this point, but let's play it. This was the video put on the Instagram page of Donald Trump. It features a Twitter Spaces conversation with Elon Musk, Ron DeSantis, George Soros, Dick Cheney, Adolf Hitler, the devil, the FBI, and others. Let's play cut. The first cut.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Ron DeSantis Twitter space.
Hello? Is my microphone working correctly?
George, can you just wait while we...
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can all hear you, George. Can you just hold on for a second?
Hilfa, I don't think they can hear me.
I can hear you fine, George. Just speak to the
microphone. I don't think George knows how to use Twitter.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Can I please make my big announcement now? Everyone just...
Hello?
Just shut up.
So it goes on like that for a while. And then eventually, Ron DeSantis gets to make his big announcement. He's a little frustrated. He's been interrupted, you know, sort of a failure to launch a few different times. But here is the AI DeSantis making the big announcement. Cut 11.
I'm running for fucking president, okay?
And then Donald Trump kind of gets the last word in. And I think this is the real Donald Trump. It's posted on his page, right? It's on his Instagram page.
Is it the real devil too? Come on, man. I don't know. I mean, so
no, but Donald Trump's in the campaign. He could actually, the devil's over here on the radio with us.
If it's actually Donald Trump and not some generation or some actor or whatever, it makes it even more strange.
What if it's the real Donald Trump? He went in the booth and he recorded this thing.
I just don't know, man.
Let's play Donald Trump, cut number 12. I took this a little personally, Dom, as the devil's advocates. Cut 12.
Hold your horses, Elon. The real president is going to say a few words. The devil, I'm going to kick your ass very soon. Hitler, you're already dead. Dick Cheney, sounds like you'll be joining Hitler very soon. Klaus Schwab and George Soros, I'm putting both your asses in jail. And Ron DeSanctimonious can kiss my big, beautiful 2024 presidential ass.
I'm telling you, that's Trump. There's no AI there. Why would you need AI to produce Trump telling DeSantis? And he called him by Ron DeSanctimonious, right? AI didn't generate that.
It's just so strange, man. That is really out there. This is the leading Republican candidate for the 2024 presidency. Really? That's the guy talking about the devil? I'll kick your ass. I'll see you soon. What? Really? Are you going to hell? Is that what's happening? What does he mean? Why even bring up Hitler? Why is that even a thing? I mean, I don't know, but when you start bringing Hitler images in on your political campaigns, I think you're going a bit too far. Folks, with the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789.
Broadcasting to Southeast.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Four on the Floor is playing tonight at Macmillan Library in the Fine Arts Center. This local favorite band, led by Pete Revel, will play classic jazz from 6:30 to 8. Enjoy this multi-generational jazz quartet playing standards from America's songbook. The 2025 NFL Draft, which was awarded to Green Bay earlier this week, comes with a price tag of $7.5 million. Now, Green Bay Republicans, Representative David Steffen and Senator Robert Cowles are asking for $2 million in the next state budget to help cover a portion of that. The money would come in the form of a grant funded by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation as part of the budget. It's estimated the event will generate some $94 million statewide, $20 million of that in Green Bay, and attract nearly 250,000 visitors. Don't miss the Rafters' first game of the season on Monday at 6:35. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's two convenient locations. One great pizza. It's Papa John's in Wausau and Stevens Point. Well, not just one great pizza. It's actually hundreds of combinations. Plus Papa Bowls, Papa Bites, wings, sides, desserts, and more.
No matter what you order, every bite is a taste sensation.
In Stevens Point, call 715-972-1414. In Wausau, call 715-803-4588. Or log on papajohns.com. One great pizza. Two convenient locations. It's Papa John's.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 36. Tonight, under clear skies, easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow. Highs level off around 74. Lows dip down to about 45. Tomorrow night, mainly clear. Temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday, with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 69.
It was abysmal by damn near any standard. But I heard Righty Whitey Talk Radio defending it this morning. Damn, I think they're doing the math. They realize Donald Trump has proven to be a loser for the party, right? In 4 years, he lost the House, the Senate, the presidency. I mean, this is not exactly a track record of success. And those that do politics for a living, they've noted their team keeps losing, so they want a new representative at the top of the ticket. But they got Trump.
Do they really want that? They're kind of stuck with the guy. You know, they wanted something else before in 2016, too. I mean, Wisconsin was very anti-Trump. Hell, with Ted Cruz, right? I mean, who took Wisconsin? Ted Cruz?
Ted Cruz won Wisconsin by double digits, about 13 points.
No one wanted Trump. Hell, Trump hung up on righty, whitey talker Vicky McKenna, if I recall.
He had a hell of a time with Charlie Sykes as well.
Oh, yes. Well, Sykes went on, and he's cashing it out at MSNBC. But, you know, we still have the conservatives on the radio here. They didn't want Trump then, and they're saying, what, they don't want Trump now? But everybody, all the other Republicans, majority of those Republicans, they want Trump, Crudy.
They do. They do want Trump. I was curious, though. I've asked, you know, my conservative friends, and that's a limited number at this late date. But I've asked them, you know, what do you think of this DeSantis character? He gets a lot of positive sentiment, you know, and I keep hearing stuff like, well, I like Trump's policies. You know, I told you the Runkle story, right? I like Trump's policies, but, you know, maybe he's the wrong messenger. So they like the fascism, but not the fascist. I mean, Ron DeSantis is fascist light. But if you're looking for a fascist lane in the Republican Party, I think Donald Trump already inhabits it.
So, Marquette University Law School poll, among registered Republican voters, Trump 46, DeSantis 25. And then Nikki Haley is down at 5 and the rest are lower.
Well, the rest of them are really insignificant in this race. It's a two-horse race. It's DeSantis and Trump. The rest do not matter, in my humble opinion, Dom. There was an article a couple days ago. I'm going to throw this headline, a couple of the lines out from it. The headline here, the quiet race to be the GOP's biggest loser in 2024 begins. Because it's not about winning. It's not about winning. Maybe it's about being, what, Trump's vice presidential pick? But it ain't about winning for anybody other than maybe DeSantis or Trump. Here is what Matt Bye writes at the Washington Post. I understand why Ron DeSantis thinks Republican primary voters might want an alternative to Donald Trump. I get why conservative stalwarts such as Nikki Haley and Chris Christie think the voters might welcome an alternative to DeSantis. What's less clear is why Chris Sununu and Asa Hutchinson would think that there's any market in today's Republican Party for a kinder, gentler voice. Do they really think a pro-governing pragmatist can win the nomination? The answer is probably not, but that doesn't mean there aren't other things. Celebrity, adoration, even financial opportunity to be won by trying. See where they're going here, Tom?
Oh, yes.
What did Rick Santorum ever do other than run for president and then cash in on the fact that he lost running for president? His whole career has been built on being a failed presidential candidate. In 2016, a lot of people wondered why John Kasich, then the governor of Ohio, got into the race late and then slogged through the months of primaries. Long after, it was clear that Donald Trump was cruising to the nomination. Kasich won exactly one state, his own. The author writes, I talked to Kasich a lot back then, and I can tell you, he wanted very much to be president and believed he could win, right up until the moment he knew he couldn't. But Kasich came away from that campaign with something that would have seemed unthinkable for most of his career, when he was largely reviled on the left as a blustery, union-busting religious zealot. By standing up to Trump and making the case for civility in public life, he became, at least in the eyes of a lot of Democrats, independents in the news media, the fatherly conscience of the Republican Party. There's an established template for this kind of campaign, and it goes back to 2000, when John McCain defied his party and tried to derail George W. Bush's highly choreographed march to the nomination. For most of his long career in Congress and the Senate, McCain, like Kasich, had been a reliable conservative vote on most everything, and his organization had exerted a distinctly undemocratic control over politics in Arizona. But in 2020, McCain ran expertly as a bombastic reformer in the tradition of Theodore Roosevelt, recasting himself as a truth-telling antidote to partisan extremism. and narrowly losing and incurring the contempt of his own party's leaders, he transformed himself, Dom, for a long moment, into the most popular and marketable politician in America. A maverick.
From 2000, that was. I'll continue here, Crudy. When McCain, who was nothing if not persistent, finally managed to wrest the nomination in 2008, largely by sucking up to Bush, he found, to his enduring frustration, that he had sacrificed his most powerful asset along the way. By trading in his maverick image for the role of Republican elder, he betrayed his most avid constituency. 4 years later, an obscure former governor named John Huntsman Jr. returned triumphantly from his post as ambassador to China to run on a similar platform of moderation and civility. He failed spectacularly, but even that debacle of a campaign was enough to elevate Huntsman to the role of minor statesman and frequent media guest. That's what it's all about, baby. Incidentally, all three candidates, McCain, Huntsman, and Kasich, relied on a renegade image maker named John Weaver, who can fairly be credited with pioneering this Republican strategy of winning over just about everybody but Republican voters. If this is the kind of campaign Sununu and Hutchinson have in mind, then ideology has little to do with it. Hutchinson, in fact, is about as socially conservative as you can get. What moderate, quote-unquote, means now, at least to the media and the left, is a refusal to demonize Democrats or cave to conspiracy theories. The bar has certainly been lowered, Crudy. Most of all, it means clearly condemning Trump and his insurrectionist movement. As the author writes, I suppose this would make Christie as moderate as anyone, but his previous ties to Trump make him a hard sell as a national healer. The odds of winning the nomination with this kind of strategy are probably close to non-existent, but the odds of emerging with a serious public platform, if you do it well, question mark, maybe a book deal or even a cable show, those are odds I would take. It's worth noting, though, that if Sununu or Hutchinson plan to audition for the role of lonely Republican statesman, they might have to reckon with some competition. Liz Cheney, the former Republican congresswoman who was banished by her party after voting for Trump's impeachment, hasn't ruled out an independent bid herself, and I wouldn't dismiss her chances in the perennial primary that has become the conservative icon of NPR listeners and humanities professors everywhere. She's off to a commanding lead, Matt Bai writes at the Washington Post. Yeah, the quiet race to be the GOP's biggest loser in 2024.
There's only two of them actually running for the presidency. You realize that, right, Dom? Not Nikki Haley, not Tim Scott. It's DeSantis and it's Trump, and it's a bunch of losers. And quite frankly, based on the rollout yesterday, I would say you got to put DeSantis over in the column with the other losers, which means at least from a nomination point of view on the Republican side, I think still Donald Trump is your guy. He's the only obvious one. And, you know, to hear it being told on right-wing talk radio, we, Dom, the Soros-funded left and whatever.
What, you got a check from Soros?
Well, the first one will be the first one. The next one will be the first one. But anyways, Dom, we, according to right-wing talk radio's own Daniel O'Donnell, we actually are trying to lift up Donald Trump because we know he's unelectable. And I think, well, that part you might have just gotten right. 844-967-2789. I'm only speaking for myself. I would like to see Donald Trump be the Republican nominee.
You know, that certainly has been a strategy, right, of literally of Democrats putting money behind hard, you know, mega candidates in statewide and local elections, right? I mean, that's we've talked about that when they
engage. I can't see them financially supporting Trump in any way, shape, or form.
But this, I mean, that mindset's certainly there. They put money to do that, money that could have gone to, you know, other candidates. You know, perhaps we wouldn't have the insurrectionist out in the La Crosse area if we'd put more money in
Van Orden. But they also, if you look at the support mechanisms and the donors to the left, let's call it, they also supported the candidacy of Dan Kelly in the primary, right? They trashed Jennifer Doro. They took her down as much as Kelly's candidacy did.
Right.
And they did so with intent. You know, the celebrity judge out of Waukesha County, well, she could have posed a different sort of candidate to Janet Protasiewicz than the twice loser Daniel Kelly, man. The guy was contemptuous, pompous. He was a known quantity as a loser. And the Democrats helped him win the primary so he could go on and get his ass handed to him in the general. I mean, strategically, mission accomplished.
Right. No doubt. But I think it's also can be, you know, dangerous if all of a sudden those wackadoodles win the election. And then where are you at? But, you know, for the most part, I believe that strategy has worked. But again, I'm not propping up Trump. I don't want anyone to vote for Trump. I think Trump's a POS. I think Trump's a disgrace to this nation. We can go on and on about it. You know, if you want to write somebody in, go run yourself. You'll be your own advocate. Represent your constituents. Represent your neighbors. You go do that. No, not Donald Trump. Don't vote for Donald Trump. That's a very bad idea.
Vote for me. I'll set you free.
That's right, man.
844-967-2789. I was actually thinking we revived the D's Nuts campaign 2024. Call that kid in Iowa, Brady.
Yeah, he's got to be old enough now. Well, how old he got
to
be?
Probably
now.
Old not enough that old. To vote, not old enough to run for president. He got to be right. 35. Bill from Oconomowoc, welcome. What do you got for us, Bill?
I'm going to ask you guys for some advice. Here goes. I believe the Democrats, the Republicans know they cannot win a normal election. They're scared. They realize they're a minority. So what are they? They're domestic terrorists. But yet, we give them the credibility and treat them like they're somebody special as a congressman that we should listen to. I don't think we should listen to any of them. We don't negotiate with terrorists, period. They know they're about to be called terrorists and labeled them because they committed an act of terrorism.
Define the act of terrorism. Are we talking about the January 6th or the debt ceiling where Matt Gaetz said, why would we negotiate with our hostage? Meaning what, the American people or the Democratic Party?
The January 6th was a terrorist act on the Capitol. Now, they took an oath not to do that, but they broke the oath. So let's fast forward to Matt Gaetz and the debt ceiling. They think they can strong-arm Biden into agreeing into paying the bills that they incurred. That's foolish. That's crazy. We lower our standards by even acknowledging that. The mere fact that we give them an audience is pathetic. They don't deserve it. They took an oath of office, and I'll quote exactly chapter and verse. We take an oath to protect America from foreign and domestic terrorism. The FBI has labeled them domestic terrorists. That's why they got to wash out the FBI. They can't put up with this title of terrorist.
Bill, it's quite interesting that our conservative friends now want to defund the federales, the federal police, if you will, defund the FBI. Come back.
I'm not saying all Republicans are terrorists, but a lot of those hard right white nationalist Christians are voting Republican.
Come back with us. Don't be a domestic terrorist. Be a fan of the Devil's Advocates. 844-96-PARTY.
Radio advertising can change your business in a flash. Go from waiting around to no time to spare in no time flat. Do you have an event, need to hire, or have a message you need to get out? Call me, Ashley, today, 715-295-4922, because marketing starts early.
You should call my mom. She's good at this advertising stuff.
Call me today, 715-295-4922, and let's get started.
There are special days in May. Mother's Day is huge. Thanks to all the moms. Then Armed Forces Day. We appreciate our servicemen and women. May wraps up with Memorial Day, when we remember and thank those who sacrificed for our country. Thank you from everyone at Crockett Septic. May might be a month where you have a special event and need a porta potty. Or maybe your county septic reminder card came in the mail this month and you need it pumped. Just give Crockett Septic a call and we'll help you out. Call 715-712-345.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett
Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whip. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
The friendliest bar in the area is Jammer's Bar & Grill on Eagle Road in Rapids. Try $2 Tuesdays. Any beer, cans, bottles, mugs, any brand, all day, $2. Saturday and Sunday, try Jammer's soon-to-be-famous 5-beer bucket special. Any domestic beer you want, mix and match, $10. Delicious burgers, brats, chicken, and all your favorite apps. Don't forget Jammer's has plenty of space for your next party. That's Jammer's Bar & Grill, 2810 Eagle Road. You're gonna love it here.
Stop surfing the dial. You found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open 844-967-2789.
Dominic, Mexican President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador on Thursday called on the Hispanic people in Florida to vote against Governor Ron DeSantis, who launched his 2024 White House bid the day before because of his immigration policies. I quote the Mexican president. Hopefully Hispanics in Florida will wake up and not give him one single vote to not vote for those who persecute migrants, those who don't respect migrants. Speaking at his daily hours-long press conference, Lopez Obrador addressed DeSantis' political future, saying the governor had discovered himself using Mexican political slang for a candidate's, uncovered himself. I'm not sure exactly how different that is, using Mexican political slang for a candidate's announcement and taking credit for predicting DeSantis' presidential run. Well, come on, President Obrador. We all predicted DeSantis' presidential run. As you can see, I wasn't wrong that all his politicking over migrants was because he wanted to be the Republican Party's candidate. At his Wednesday press conference, Lopez Obrador had bemoaned the politics behind border security and immigration in the United States. We have to be thinking about this regrettable phenomenon of necessary migration used with political ends in the United States, he said, responding to a question from the Hill. The governor of Texas campaigning, saying he will militarize the border and he will continue building the wall. The governor of Florida, the same, because he wants to be the Republican Party candidate and he's politicking. Against immigrants, right? I mean, isn't that the way Trump sort of launched his campaign, came down the escalator and said, you know, Mexico's not sending their best people. They're sending us their rapists and their murderers and some good people, I'm sure.
And drug dealers and some good people. Yes. Yes. That seems to be par for the course. If you're running for the conservative Republican mega nomination, yeah, it helps to be a little anti-immigrant because, of course, that appeals to the people who are going to vote for you because they're also anti-immigrant, which is so, of course, ironic because short of the indigenous folks in this country, we're all immigrants.
Yeah, but you shut the door behind you, Dom, and you pick up every ladder. 844-967-2789. Going back to the phones in our fair audience, a patient, Mark from the SAC. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Oh, doing good. It's remarkable that DeSantis is, you know, of course he's going to raise his head because it was just a disaster yesterday. I mean, apparently some of the news media is picking up on the fact that he lied about, you know, the success he had in fighting COVID in Florida because, you know, he actually sponsored, you know, fired somebody who tried to report the real results of the deaths in Florida from COVID. And it is just a, I mean, none of the Republican frontrunners are good for the country. I mean, that none of them come out and condemned the insurrection on January 6th. I mean, that it is just, and that's a really galling point to me, is that if you really believe in America, you should have condemned that right away. And but you know, Trump, what he said, oh, pardon those people. Well, no, you shouldn't be pardoning those people. They should be insisting they spent a good deal more time in jail. And the only part of the insurrectionists that are going to get charged here in Wisconsin, and I just think that trial can't come soon enough.
You got to wait until 2024, almost 4 years, Mark, after the incident. Thanks for the call, man.
What sort of political courage does it take, Ron DeSantis, after his disastrous rollout, again, went running to Foxy News to say effectively he would pardon January 6th patriots, you know, and of course, the former president perhaps as well. Well, if a guy is, you know, criminally accused, let's just say, Dom, and you're running for president against that very same guy, why are you so quick? Why would you be so willing to pardon his failures? Because effectively what you're saying
is... So you can get his voters, because if Trump gets an even more headwind and gets indicted or whatever happens, and DeSantis is last man standing, he's going to need Trump's voters to even have a chance against the Dems.
Well, you know, DeSantis went on the Clay and Buck show today, Dom. The, you know, they're the new wannabe Rush Limbaughs. And the difference between them and us is they agree on every topic. I don't even see why there's two of them, you know, except for like fill-ins, like, you know, hey, you want to take off a couple of days? No one will even notice you're gone because we share the same brain and all the same opinions. As soon as I bring you to my opinion, Dom, then we'll share all the same opinions. Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSanctimonious confirmed on Thursday that he would consider pardoning former President Donald Trump for any charges stemming from his attempt to overthrow the 2020 election on January 6, 2021. During an interview on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show on an inferior whitey-righty talk radio network, one down to the dial, DeSantis was asked if he would consider pardons for Trump and other January 6 defendants. I don't really have a DeSantis voice yet, but I'll work on it. But I quote him. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do on day one, I will have folks that will get together and look at all these cases who people are victims of weaponization of political targeting, and we will be aggressive at issuing pardons. Now, some of these cases, some people may have a technical violation of the law, but if there are three other people who did the same thing just in the context like BLM and they don't get prosecuted at all, that is uneven application of justice. Now, you can say it, but it doesn't make it so, Ron. We're going to find examples where we have governments have been weaponized against disfavored groups. We will apply relief as appropriate. Sexton pressed the candidate about a pardon for Trump. And that could be from a grandma who got arrested and prosecuted too much, all the way up to potentially Trump himself, he wondered. I would say any example of disfavored treatment based on politics or weaponization would be included in that review, no matter how small or how big, DeSantis confirmed. Or how big.
I mean, this is the guy running against Donald Trump and you know, lamenting that he would, what, pardon?
His criminal opponent.
Seditious. I mean, but that, right, but come on. This is your opportunity to take him down, dude. Seditious conspiracy. Dude, Oathkeeper founder just got sentenced today to 18 years. I mean, Trump, what role did Trump play in that? How high up does it go? Well, that guy's doing 18. Why would you possibly? If you know that your competitor was involved in a seditious conspiracy and going down for it, why would you offer that? Because you're so scared of the megas. You need them. You want them. But, oh, God, if you don't give Trump something, you don't try to win them over, and that's how you're going to do it, then they're not going to show up for you. It is weakness.
You know whose day it is in the barrel? Mark Levin. Levin, the conservative righty-whitey talker.
Yeah.
Put up a link to the Ron DeSantis fundraiser.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message
WFHR, from Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the